Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
It's Bud Pod 255.
255, you cry. Why? You cry, why are they still doing this? Why?
Do you think anyone cries that fast?
Cries that fast?
For us.
Cries for us, why are they still doing this?
Do you think that we have a plankton?
Oh, yes.
From SpongeBob.
Yes, an unknown nemesis.
Yeah, is there someone far in the reaches of space with minds incomprehensible to ours, watching us, shaking a fist through the telescope?
So you think somewhere out there there is
a hater?
The haters of Zorgon 5.
they're
a planet of haters. They're a species that has developed the technology to receive podcasts from across the galaxy, but
yes,
don't have the technology to select which one they're listening to or to turn off the one that they are receiving.
Yes, and we to them are the equivalent of like thunderstorms or floods.
Yes. This is like if the sellotaped eye movie scene from A Clockwork Orange was an entire planet's condemnation.
And to make things worse, on this planet they don't have anuses.
What? Oh yeah, so they don't even have the context for most of our riffs.
No, they're really horrified by the idea of it.
Yeah, it's like if we were forced to listen to a podcast where they kept joking about Ziblars.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, what? And they laugh so much about Ziblars. And you're like, what's a Ziblar?
But then when you find out, it's like repellent. It's like, they're like, a Ziblar is a, when you Ziblar, it's like a crazy phase where you feel compelled to eat hundreds of your own young. What the fuck? That's them for excretion. They do
it's taboo because we all have to do it.
Yeah,
but we don't want to admit it.
Every spring we all do it, but it's something that we hide by burying their little bones underneath the sacred tree. And that's an understanding.
Why do we do that? And then we laugh with each other. Why do we do that? Why do we bury the bones? Why do we bury? We know we're doing it. Why are we burying the bones?
People doing memes like the Ziblar young hit different in spring. Like that face when you've gorged on your young and feel like you didn't even need to do that. Like a sad, sad meme guy. Yeah.
Oh man, intergalactic memes. That's the next stage of our technological evolution. Surely, I want to see memes from the next galaxy over.
Yeah.
I want to see memes from the edge of the universe.
Martian memes.
I've seen memes on fire on the belt of Orion.
I've seen things you people couldn't even imagine.
I'd love to see alien memes.
I want
to
see Plutonian SpongeBob.
Oh.
They've got some version of SpongeBob out there, and they've memed him.
They've memed him for sure. Gosh, and then imagine when we find out that humor is universal. Literally universal. Meme culture is literally universal.
What if we discovered a bunch of aliens, some different ones, like a bunch, not just one race.
Oh, a few different aliens.
Yeah, a few of them are around. They all know each other.
Oh, okay.
Like a Galactic Federation thing.
That's cute.
Yeah, they're friends. But they don't have humor. And we are the alien race to them that has this weird thing called humor.
Mm.
And it spreads like wildfire to them. It's like drugs. They just can't believe it.
Yes.
They're all kind of like Vulcans, you know, like Spock. They only say what they mean. They're super serious.
Mm-hmm.
So like sarcasm as a concept is just this really destructive thing to their civilization. It's like the flu.
Oh, right. Yeah,
just
yeah,
go,
yeah,
well,
yeah.
Now people know they can say things that they don't mean, like invention of lying.
Right. I suppose it would be like if we could no longer trust
anything.
Anything.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, when you're saying something, does it mean... Yeah, right. So it'd be like misinformation.
Yeah, yeah. Everything these people say is fake news.
Plus, plus, plus.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. We could ruin... It's like when they defeat the aliens in War of the Worlds, spoilers, with a germ.
Yeah. Because they're from a planet where people sing happy birthday twice while they wash their hands. While they wash their tentacles. So they have no immunity. I didn't realize this. And maybe there are people listening who agree with this, in which case, apologies for making fun of it, but I just had no idea. I've seen on Twitter there are people where, for them, the pandemic is still going. And I don't mean people who are like vulnerable because of chemo or anything.
Right.
They're still wearing masks and still...
Yeah, I see a few.
They're still in like lockdown one.
As in they're not leaving?
They're not leaving the house without like three masks on. They're not going to restaurants. And they haven't done since lockdown one. That's crazy, crazy.
What is the Japanese soldier's name? I was listening about him.
Hiro Onoda.
Onoda.
Hiro Onoda. I only know Hiro Onoda because... The German documentary maker.
Yeah.
Werner Herzog is obsessed with him and has met him.
Yeah, he talked about him on Adam Buxton.
Yeah.
I really like that episode.
Really good, isn't
it? Yeah. He's just so intense and so sure about what he thinks and what's important to him. And yeah, I wish I had that clarity of mind.
Say, I don't believe so. No. It's so funny, especially from a British context, to have anyone who's willing to say to any question, no. Just never happens here.
Yeah, no.
No. No, I don't think so. Okay, fuck. Well, this is a much faster conversation than I'm used to.
Yeah, maybe. Well, maybe I...
Maybe I understand why some people think that.
Yeah.
But the thing is that... No, just... No.
Yeah.
I don't believe this.
Also, how cool to meet Onoda and meet that... Because, like, to us, it's kind of a joke, really. It's like he's come to represent just someone who won't give up on something.
This guy kept going.
But then, of course, if you actually meet him, you're like... Wow, he kept living in the jungle on his own for like 27 years.
Yeah. Well, he had two friends and then they got killed.
Mm.
And then on his own for at least like 10 of those.
And didn't he kill like a bunch of Filipino people?
They killed a lot of civilians.
Yeah, that's it too.
But they had to sort of go, well...
Yeah.
What I like about it is that I like Werner Herzog a lot, but I did think like when he was saying... Your hero honor that radiated this nobility of character... I have not seen from any other human being.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, you don't speak Japanese.
All right, yeah.
So it could be that he's sitting there going, oh-ho, that's lady in the jungle. Like he could have been a fucking idiot.
Because let's be honest, he can't have been that smart. Okay, look, I know it's impressive
that dedicated.
He's dedicated. No one's denying his sense of duty.
Yeah.
But I think after 2 weeks, I would have poked my head out and gone, is this over yet? Because he was still there when American planes were flying overhead for the Korean War.
And Vietnam. Yeah.
And I guess he just assumed that it was still going on.
Yes. He just thought that's definitely, it's just still happening, this endless war.
Yeah.
Also like...
But he is what happens when nationalism becomes... a de facto religion. Well, not de facto. The emperor literally was God. And so...
Yeah, yeah.
And so he was there by order of God.
God told me to take this island and hold it.
Yeah.
And to annoy the enemy.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Next
mm-hmm.
question.
Yeah.
Also, like, I do think it would be completely different if he had, like, a fucking Tennessee accent.
The Japanese equivalent of a Tennessee accent?
Yeah, or if we were talking about a guy from Tennessee who just... stayed in Vietnam and killed Vietnamese people till 1998.
Yeah, but we'd be like, wow, what an honorable...
Wow, the noble sacrifice of old Chuck McCluskey. I just knew I had to stay in the jungle and kill those fuckers. You'd be like, wow, he radiated like nobility in a way that no one else...
It's not like the Japanese weren't on the bad side, you know?
Yeah.
It's like we've forgotten that. I think we just think it's impressive that he was in the jungle for that long.
Yeah.
And very few people speak Japanese, so we assume it was
for
a mysterious, soulful reason.
And he definitely wrote some good haikus in the jungle. He crossed his legs and sat on the floor and thought a lot.
And imagine the way he harvested rainwater was very, like, ASMR.
Soothing sipping sounds. Hiro Onoda's soothing sipping sounds.
Yeah.
That'd be a good Spotify album. Yeah, I agree. You know what? The Japanese still benefit from what the Germans used to benefit from, which is this noble officer class idea.
Mm.
The Germans, we took it away from them.
Oh, yeah.
But like, even during the war, it was like, no, he was very honorable because he was like a Prussian cavalry general and had a little dueling scar.
Mm.
And he said, yeah, it would be uncouth for me to deny you one last meal.
Yeah.
You know, please, you will dine with me tonight.
Yeah.
All that shit. And then as they started losing, they just started massacring prisoners and fucking,
yeah.
You know, the whole time they were doing the Holocaust.
Yeah.
So we went, okay, no niceness for you anymore, actually. All the Nazis are bad.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the monocle ones, which were the ones in World War I that we talked about as though they were like our brother aristocrats.
Wait, so what do you mean by this?
So like
post-World
in
World War II, is that Marshall Plan stuff?
Marshall Plan. I just mean like in
just they in, like the part of the cultural renovation of Germany was to say you don't get an officer class anymore.
Partly in Austria, they banned Vons. If you're Von, it was meant you're a noble, and they just banned them. They said there's no more Vons.
Oh, I thought
anymore.
Von just meant like, wasn't that just, I thought Von was just like van. Was just
no,
like from.
No. It had a special meaning in the former Holy Roman Empire. I don't mean that. I'm saying that like up until World War II ended, there was this idea, and it was very big in World War I of like German officers are very like noble, rules-based guys.
And
they duel with great honor in the sky. Like if you ever read Biggles or any of those, like you know, like the Red Baron.
Yeah.
So the Red Baron, if he shot up his enemy in his biplane, and the enemy sort of waved and surrendered, then he would let them go.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? Honorable,
yes,
honorable
yes.
gentleman shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they got taken away. That's no longer a part of the German military's reputation, is it?
Oh, right.
Because we know what they did.
Yes, yes, yes.
But we know what the Japanese did, and yet we persist with this samurai fetish bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, no, these are the guys who like ran through Nanking with swords out, just like chopping heads off kids, going, wah! Like fucking stag dude.
And suicide bombing and...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And everyone's still like, gosh, the wise...
Yeah, and
noble.
Marching prisoners of war to the death through Borneo, where I'm from.
Death
marches were.
Death marches in Borneo and experimenting on prisoners with like the plague and fucking throwing grenades into their cages and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy shit.
Yeah.
And everyone's still like, gosh, the wise restraint. which no one would ever say about an aristocratic German now, would
it's
they?
It's true.
No way. So I think Hiro Onoda maybe... is a fucking lunatic.
Probably almost certainly.
Yeah. What if he killed two guys?
I imagine we're talking about like a Nazi soldier who's still holed up in I don't know, Morocco or
till the 70s.
Yeah.
What, like the ones that held up in fucking Argentina till the 70s?
Mm.
And it's like, yeah, still going. Very noble.
Yeah.
Shot anyone who he found. You just shoot a farmer in the head. Wow.
Yeah.
I think it's because they've somehow managed to maintain the samurai thing. Everyone's still got kind of a boner for it.
Mm. Yes. And also, you know, their mass murder was on the Chinese. Which,
yes. And also, even when we were doing stuff to Australian and Americans, it was far away.
Yes.
They used to call that what they call the Korean War the Forgotten War, but they called Burma and stuff the Forgotten Front. Because the British soldiers fighting in Burma were just never the main event.
Yeah.
It was North Africa and then Italy and then D-Day and France. And
that's right. George Orwell, of course, was in Burma. He was
a weird colonial policeman.
Yeah.
Bridge
over River Kwai, that's kind of the only touch point.
Yeah, that's sort of it, really. Empire of the Sun. Later.
I haven't seen that one.
But yeah, I thought that was one area where Werner Herzog was maybe going. He was typical of him. He was going for the myth, the legend, rather than the dirty truth of.
But I think also with people like Werner Herzog, these documentarians, people who are drawn to the extreme aspects of life and extreme people.
Yeah.
I think fundamentally they do that because they, whatever this person has done, they idolize. Extreme extremities. Not extremism as such, but people who behave in extreme ways. And that's extreme... what fascinates someone like Werner Herzog. So he'll always have a kind of respect for someone who's extreme.
An extreme purity of thought.
Ah, yes.
100% decisiveness regardless of direction.
I mean, that's why I was drawn to fucking Bear Guy. Right? That's pretty extreme.
I'm going to live with the bears.
A real purity of thought.
Yeah, and again, living in the woods.
That's it.
He likes the jungle. It's where he made his movies as well.
Yeah.
And going to the jungle to have a bad time. That seems to be a theme of a lot of his work.
And I think it is valuable for a documentarian to see someone, the rest of us would just go, oh, they're crazy, and go, yeah, but there's probably something interesting here. Because I would dismiss someone like Onoda or the Grizzly Man as like, there's nothing interesting about being crazy and they're just crazy.
Yeah.
And then, but of course, if you get into the story, like, oh, this is actually pretty interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I speaking of, you reminded me with the decisiveness of Werner Herzog's answers to things. I watched a movie last night. Its English title is The Promised Land. It's the new Mads Mikkelsen film.
Oh, yeah, I've seen posters for that.
But it's in Danish.
Oh, nice.
It's in Danish and it's set in Denmark.
Okay.
In like the 1700s.
Ooh.
It's really good. I really liked it.
What was going on in Denmark in the 1700s?
They were trying to farm or transform.
What they look like? What they dressed like?
Like Fiddler on the Roof style peasantry.
Oh, okay.
Mixed with kind of red coats, kind of rough and lots of buttons and tricorn hats.
Oh, okay. Nice, nice. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. So like revolution. Yeah. American Revolutionary War. It's giving American Revolutionary War.
It's giving a mixture of that and a mixture of like generic Central European peasant in a smock with a big belt. You know?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Guy with a beard and a big haymaker? Loader stick thing.
Oh, yeah, the prongs.
The prongs.
Fork.
That kind of thing.
Hay fork is always called. Any farmers get in touch.
Any farmers get in touch. What I like, two things I liked, well, I like the film in general, but two things that I enjoyed that made me laugh and think about cultural differences.
And what's the movie about overall?
So, Mads Mikkelsen plays a former army captain who is in poverty. He's got his crappy little pension.
Mm-hmm.
And in Denmark at the time, Jutland, the big middle bit, what you think of as the main bit of Denmark, but is actually just like a load of flat, wind-blown heather.
This is a chunk that's sort of just west of Copenhagen?
Yes.
Yeah.
That wasn't being farmed. There was huge swathes of Denmark that weren't arable. You know, like the kind of scrappy little gorse bushes and heath and heather that's like on the Scottish Highlands.
Oh, yeah, scrabbly stuff.
Yeah, scrabbly stuff, salty, sandy soil.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing can, you can't fucking grow wheat there.
Right.
So it was just desolate. And the king was like always saying, I will offer, you know, you get money and land and a reward if you can just farm something there.
No.
Because it's like half the country.
Yeah.
And it's nothing.
Yeah.
And so he reckons he can do it.
Oh, okay. That's
much
cool.
To the dismay of the local landowners, Philip, who use it for hunting. And
it feels quite There Will Be Blood.
It is described as a Western,
but
it's in like 1720s Denmark. But
that
it's
great.
It's movie logic is of a Western. Title deeds and
yes,
corrupt local judiciary.
Does he turn up in like a sleeveless vest at any point?
Sure he does.
Yes. I'm in.
It's good.
I'm in, yeah.
What I liked was that...
Is there a bit where he just looks over the land and sort of...
There's a lot of that.
Yeah, scratches in his nose and...
There's a lot of testing soil.
Oh, God, yes.
It's nice.
I love this sort of thing.
I was watching it
the
whole time.
I love frontier stuff.
Oh, it's very frontier. I was watching it the whole time just thinking over and over again, agriculture. I just kept thinking, oh, agriculture.
As in, like, I love agriculture. Or, like, agriculture is about to happen. I'm excited.
Both of those and also how hard it is.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you're just, like, scrabbling in the frozen earth to try and get anything to grow. And you're just like, oh, my God. I was watching it thinking, this is awful.
Mm-hmm.
You live in a fucking wooden house and it's always cold and you're just always muddy and digging and cold and tired.
Yeah.
And I get to go home on an electric underground train with my headphones on.
And listen to anyone in the world talk about anything that I want.
And that doesn't even need a cable. Magic puts it into my ears.
I don't even understand the things that are on my head. I don't understand how any of this works and I don't care.
Yeah, yeah. I live in a wizard land of electric lights and stuff. And
you
just think,
mad? In his time, everyone understood exactly how everything they owned worked. Because there was, you looked at it and you knew how it worked.
Yeah, and you go, well, if I pull that, the flap goes.
What do you think was the first invention that people would just go, oh, I don't know how that fucking works? The engine?
Oh, yeah. Oh, even like earlier, telegram, anything electric.
Is a telegram older than the engine?
Clocks.
Clocks is pretty tough.
Clocks is tough. Telegram's definitely older than the combustion engine, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, with, it would have been telegram then.
Anything with electricity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because electricity is hard to understand even if you do learn it.
Because
you're like, right, so are the electrons like water or not? And they go, yes and no. And you go, okay, fuck you.
You know, electrons move a lot more slower than you think.
Yeah,
they basically move like treacle. If you could visualize electrons in this cable, yeah, they're kind of going like this fast. It's not like they're going faster than the speed. They're flowing quite slowly.
That's weird.
But the effect is instant. Well, near as instant. But if you were actually able to watch electrons moving, they're not moving that quickly, actually.
That is weird.
I think, please no one check that. To use a podcast catchphrase.
Yeah, they move really slowly. Please no one check that. Well, so yeah, I was thinking all of that. I was thinking agriculture, and also I cannot believe that what I'm looking at was everyone. And now it's certainly in Europe, almost no one.
Lives that way, you mean?
Yeah, or has to do that.
Yeah.
Or it's not that hard.
Yeah.
There's machines.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't have to dig with something made of wood.
No.
While it snows on you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so horrible.
Also, we now have an almost essentially limitless amount of nitrogen, like fertilizer. So nitrogen capture is invented by, or discovered by... German scientist. It's like one of the great inventions. It is important. Let me just say,
keep facing the mic, though.
Oh yeah.
in his distress, Phil was moving his head from left to right as he tried to shake a German man's name out of his mind. So the two things that made me laugh in terms of cultural differences.
Fritz Haber. He invented the Haber-Bosch process that takes nitrogen from the air and turns it into fertilizer, which is the only reason we can.
Feed the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. The two things in this movie that made me laugh and go, oh yeah, was the English title is The Promised Land. And as the camera pans across this desolate heath, the title comes up of the Danish title, and it's Bastardet, like bastard.
Oh. Just
bastard in massive letters. And then underneath the English subtitle, The Promised Land.
So the Danish title of the movie is Bastard.
I think it's just Bastard, because the main character is a bastard.
Why didn't they call it The Bastard?
I know. I think they must have just been told, like, oh, in America, they won't let you put that on a poster.
Lame.
So it's called The Promised Land, which is...
But Yanks.
It was really funny. It was like a sight gag from Naked Gun, where it was like, Bastard, The Promised Land. And it's like, I'm not good at Danish. I don't speak Danish. But I think that's not an accurate subtitle. And the other thing that I liked in it was there's no, because it's Danish, there's none of this like English understatement when it comes to being confident.
Yes.
There's none of this like, oh, well, we'll see. Whereas in England, saying we'll see means yes, I will do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're supposed to be polite and never be confident, because being confident is rude for no reason.
Yeah.
Whereas because this is a Danish movie, there's a moment where one of the characters says to him, and do you think you'll succeed? And it's a really high stakes question. And he just says, yes. And that's it.
Yes. In that Mads Mikkelsen kind of way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think you can defeat me, Mr. Bond? Yes. You'd never get that. You go, well, do you think? It'd be some witty remark as opposed to just, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be possible.
Speaking of witty remarks, do we have to read some correspondence?
Yes, yeah.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ring, ring, letters, emails, phone calls, correspondence.
Okay, Paul gets in touch.
Paul, I think I'm falling in love with Paul.
Sure.
I'm going to fall for Paul.
Paul says, hi there, nice mans.
Aw, thanks. See, this is why I've fallen for Paul.
Seen in Clapham, which Paul describes as home of the worst humans.
Oh, Clapham's dreadful,
is
yeah.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
You're a South Londoner now, Phil. I don't know about these things.
Oh, no, Clapham is...
I don't go there.
It's the Chelsea of the South, I guess.
Oh.
It's full of dreadful people.
Boat shoes?
But it is where the emancipation movement started. The Clapham Sect were the name of the British people who sort of kicked off the...
abolition.
Abolition movement here, yeah.
So they've got that going for them.
They started off in a church in Clapham, by Clapham Common, I think.
Back when it was
so they have that going for them. Sure.
They've got that.
Sure, they've got that.
They're coasting, though. What have they abolished lately? Let the record show I was merely passing through, defends Paul. Here is a fun chalkboard message on the outside of a pub. You know, when they put the chalkboard out?
Oh, yeah, saying like, it's stinky out here. Our beers are nice. Come in.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not stinky in here, Arrow, yeah. To the pub. You think it is.
It probably is.
Chalkboard message. It's not technically tat. I don't know. I think it is. It's advertising.
I think it's tat. Yeah, it's self-made tat.
Yeah.
Organic tat.
What's the official name for pub and coffee shop humor? Tat, I think.
I think so, but if it's a subset.
It's wacky tat, because it's not wackaging, because it's not packaging.
It isn't, but it's tat that is solely focused on the thing that they are selling, right? So in a pub, yeah. It's tat that's just about booze, usually beer, and then coffee shops is just about coffee.
Beer or gin.
I feel like gin tat is only ever for houses. I've never seen gin tat in a pub.
I've seen some gin tat in a pub.
Interesting.
Although less these days, because there was the sort of gin boom of the teens.
There was. Kablow.
I'm allergic to gin. Even talking about it. Okay, so let's see if you can whisper this.
Mm-hmm.
Free blank.
Free beer.
Free.
Yep.
Blank bartender.
Expensive bartender?
No.
Free beer. Forgetful bartender.
No.
Because like he forgets that he's promised free beer.
You think that they're trying to explain why the beer is free?
They're trying to explain why you will get and end up being charged.
Free beer, brackets, forgetful bartender.
Yeah, something like that. Free beer.
The next statement about the bartender is not related to the free beer.
Oh, okay. Free beer, handsy bartender.
Yeah, well, you're closer.
Oh, charming bartender? Creepy bartender.
No. You were closer with...
with handsy.
Handsy.
Violent bartender?
No, you were closer in the sexy sense.
Oh, okay. Gropey bartender?
No. Sexiness. Nothing for you. Stop it. The bartender's not
flirty
doing...
Flirty bartender?
No.
Handsome bartender?
No.
Attractive, but sexy bartender?
Yes, but sexy why? What have they done? The bartenders, Phil.
What have the bartenders done?
To be so sexy.
I guess they're wet.
Okay.
Yeasty? They're yeasty. They're covered in yeasty smells from all the beer.
I think because the word is bartender, you're imagining a bald man in a white apron polishing a glass like in a L.A. Noir mystery.
Right. But I should be thinking of a mixologist.
You should be thinking of a woman.
Oh, of course. Busty?
Oh.
Free beer.
Close.
Curvy, voluptuous, sexy, pretty.
When I say close, I don't mean like I don't mean like synonym town. Is it not a thesaurus close? You're all conceptually close.
Okay.
With busty.
Booby.
Oh, imagine if that's what it was. Free beer, booby bartender.
I give up.
Topless.
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 Oh, I see.
Yeah.
But and then there's no line saying this is a lie. Or like...
Oh, well, the next line.
Oh!
You've actually got the spirit of it already. Yeah. I can't even say one word. There's two words.
Yeah.
Blank, blank.
Just kidding.
So close, yeah.
As if. you wish.
Yeah, closer. You were closer with like, this is a lie.
Your instincts no promises.
Oh, clear.
Not true.
Not true. Free beer, topless bartenders. Not true.
In heaven.
In heaven? That would be fun.
Next week.
Oh, you're close. Yeah, I mean, that is so exactly the right thing. Okay, the first word is false.
False advertising.
Yes.
Right.
But your instincts were bang on.
Free beer.
The third line has to be saying, this is not true.
Free beer, topless bartender. When I think bartender, I think guy. So I'm just thinking of a topless guy.
Yeah, why not topless barmaid?
Yeah. Well, they wouldn't want to be old-fashioned beer.
No, that would be bad. Maybe it was a gay pub.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
I've seen... I don't know if they still do a gig there, 99 Club at Koo Bar.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I don't know if they still do it.
Soho, yeah.
There's a gay bar in Soho where there used to be a New Material Night in the basement. And sometimes the bartenders there were just topless.
Right.
But they were blokes, Philip.
They were lads.
They were lads. It was like an Abercrombie. It was like an American Apparel. Like an Abercrombie and Fitch.
Yeah. That's my favorite pub tat. Free beer tomorrow is my favorite.
Oh, boo boo. As though some depressing old drunk's going to go, oh.
Oh, yeah. Or like the beer is free, but the tips are £5 or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. You know? The beer is free, except it's not.
Well, my first beer free, second beer double price. So, all this kind of thing.
We're here to charge you for things.
This is a business.
We're a business. We need money to function.
Unlucky for you.
I bet you, because you would like it to be free. But that wouldn't be sustainable. That would be Mads Mikkelsen's Danish pub tat. Free beer would not be a sustainable model. It would just say that. And people would look at it and go, he's right. He's right, you know. Paul says, with regards to that, free beer, topless bartender, false advertising. Fucking grow up.
Yeah.
Which is good.
I don't think grow up.
And Paul says, please, please do Koji for your health.
Yeah. Is Koji good for your health?
Can be.
Is it?
You're not supposed to leave the lads alone in your prostate for too long.
Oh, right.
Not that the lads are in there, but you know.
Yeah.
Have you not seen that stat where it's like, oh, if you like for prostate cancer reasons, you should clear out the pipes?
Yeah. But is there a point where it's bad for you? Asking for a friend.
Where the pipes are so clean. I saw a joke where it was like, oh, men who do that live on average this many times longer.
Yeah.
If they do it once a month. So by my calculations, I am immortal. Yeah. Which is good. So you might be immortal, Phil.
I might be. That's why my skin is so soft.
It's all to come. Paul adds, P.S. Is Balaam more Clapham than Clapham? Which I don't get.
Well, is Balaam more full of wankers than Clapham now?
Okay.
But I don't think so. It's probably trying to get there. It probably will get there at some point. But I think Clapham is still... The twat hub of South London.
What's a twat hub of North?
Like Chelsea and Mayfair, I guess.
But Mayfair's like...
Well, it's just like oligarchs.
There aren't even any twats there. It's just Singaporean businessmen and Saudi oligarchs.
Well, I mean, I guess it's like, what twats are you talking about? Because East London has East London-type twats, but then West London has posh twats.
Yeah.
No, I don't know what the twat hub of...
I think they're all South. That kind of...
Well, I guess there's the city. I mean, like, bank, I guess.
I met a finance man who told me that the really posh thing if you work in finance is to not work in the city.
Okay.
No, sorry, not work at Canary Wharf.
Okay.
Canary Wharf is lame. If you're really posh, you'll be in Zone 1 in a crumbly Victorian building.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know. I would have thought skyscraper.
But maybe if you're in Zone 1, you're in like a really... like an old-ass company, like a British company.
Yeah.
Like it was number 3 on Company's House.
Yeah. Well, the kind of bank that people visit at the end of a Bourne film.
Do you know the oldest company in the Company House?
The Queen. I don't know.
The Whitstable Oyster Company.
Is it?
Yeah. It's the oldest company in Company's House. Please don't check that.
I know the oldest registered trademark is the Bass. Red Triangle.
Oh, interesting.
I know that.
Is that a British company? I was
the Red
Triangle.
It's a beer, Bass.
Yeah,
Bass beer.
Where's it from?
British.
Oh.
It's from like the 1700s or something.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. Please don't check that. No, it is. Bass is the... And a guy, a sort of family friend, when he was growing up in the 70s, it was called the Red Triangle of Danger.
Okay.
Because when he was young, pubs that had the Bass sign... But like Bass surfed here.
The rough pubs.
Yeah.
So it was their BT sport of their time, was it?
Yes. Triangle. It was the massive chalked Sky Sports.
Yeah.
And smashed window. Window with newspaper taped on it.
Oh, boy.
Fuck. Going in there. Chris has sent us some tat.
Chris, what the piss?
My friend just sent me this from their holiday accommodation. It's the last line that gets me the most. Okay, so let's see. Also, I like that Chris has changed his automatic signature to sent from Cryphone.
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 Sent from my
Cryphone.
But
spelled like Chris.
Cryphone. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, God. I think we've had this before.
Okay.
It's the Disney one.
Oh, right.
The long list, and it's all in different fonts. In this house we... All the Disney lines.
Yeah.
In this house we let it go because Hakuna Matata...
Yeah, we've had this one before.
And the horrible, bare necessities horrible. Will always be our guide to infinity and beyond. So, are you having a stroke?
How are your necessities are your guide?
To infinity and beyond. What are you fucking talking about?
Isn't that the opposite message of bare necessities? What's the song, yeah. Live Simply?
Yeah, live simply in infinity.
Eh? And it'll get you to infinity.
And further. All you need is faith and trust and a little bit of pixie dust while we just keep swimming and we whistle while we work. What does that mean? All of these things sound like people saying, I'm not going to kill myself today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just keep swimming and think of all the pixie dust. And it sounds like, this sounds bad. This sounds like you're in a really bad situation.
It sounds like this family is constantly fighting.
Nothing makes me more worried than when people say cheerful sounding things about one day at a time.
Ah, yes.
Because it's what they teach you in like the 12-step program.
Yeah.
So when someone's trying to do it to achieve the opposite effect on me, which is to emphasize how fine they are.
And it's just in their house, in their kitchen.
So they can look at it every day and go, that's right. I just need to remember what I learned from Finding Nemo. To get through this fucking Iron Man marathon that I call life. Oh, God. Get a sign that says lie down. Take some time off.
Yeah.
No, just like keep trudging.
Or just like, oh, yeah. Or time heals all.
We believe in happy endings because in this house we do Disney. Most depressing thing I've ever seen.
The only reason we believe in happy endings is because we've seen...
I never thought anyone would ever end happily until I saw that cartoon when I was 5. Now that's what I believe. And it's like spray painted onto a wall as well. It's not even a sign.
I want a sign in my house that says, I believe that conclusions are vague because I watch Slice of Life 3 hour long.
Yeah.
Movies.
I believe that there is no ending, only that I will die. And that is because I watch Slice of Life, often foreign films. I'm going to get some tat all based around watching The Promised Land with Mads Mikkelsen. I believe that the Danish Jutland teeth can be cultivated.
Because in this house we watch Mads Mikkelsen.
Because in this house we watch Bastardet. Mads Mikkelsen. People go, that's very specific. And I go, it's no more specific than the Disney tat.
Oh, what's with in Danish?
I'm going to guess met.
Ah, like met in German.
Yeah. Mm. That's a guess, though. Should we find out? That's
good. Oh, yes.
Let's find out. Will Pierre's...
Don't check that, except we are checking that.
Will Pierre's linguistic assumptions bear fruit? Going to be a new feature? Will Pierre's linguistic assumptions bear fruit? Med.
Med.
So close.
Very close.
I
well
knew
done.
It would be an E, not an I.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's just much flatter. Med.
Yeah.
It just feels right. Med.
Literally an educated guess.
Literally an educated guess. Clarabelle.
Clarabelle?
Clarabelle.
What's that
Clarabelle
smell? Clarabelle!
Clarabelle, beware the smell.
Ah.
Is that good?
Yeah, great.
Beware the smell?
Beware the smell,
she
Clarabelle.
She sent us an Instagram thing. Just there. There we are. Okie dokie. Or maybe that's just her email signature. Anyway, dear Peter the Great and Philip the Handsome.
Oh, thank you. These are Philip the Handsome a real king?
These are kings. Peter the Great, 1672 to 1725, and Philip the Handsome, 1478 to 1506.
What country? Spain?
Philip the Handsome, I think, is Spain. Yeah, I think he's a Habsburg.
But Peter the Great is Russia.
Yeah. Mm. Imagine facing this on your wall first thing in the morning. Way too much tat under the guise of a single motivational affirmation. So we'll look at it first. Oh, man. It's a long sign. And it's all text. They'll give you a...
Woof!
Yeah. That's like a meter tall.
That's like a paragraph on a poster.
I don't like this. Is this a quote from someone? You can't whisper this because that's a lot of gibberish. So it's not written in like proper English either.
Okay.
Life is not a race.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Phil.
This sounds like another Each Day at a Time.
Yeah, it's another thing that I imagine someone saying while holding something so tightly their knuckles are white, holding a coffee mug so tightly that it's shaking like there's a T-Rex approaching. Life's not a race. Okay, put the gun down.
Yeah.
Life's not a race. Okay, just in
after,
a bank.
After yet another disappointment. That's what all this sounds like. It's just something you say after yet another disappointment.
Yet another fucking...
Failure.
Yet another splash of piss from the universe. Life's not a race.
Look, life's not a race, all right?
Look, life's not a race, okay? Life is not a race, but indeed a journey.
Okay, indeed unnecessary.
You're chucking indeed in there to make me think you're fancy. You can't trick me, indeed. Life is indeed a race. There you go. Now I've undone it. Life is not a race, but indeed a journey.
Yeah.
Be honest, work hard. Okay?
Nothing to do with the journey.
Be choosy.
Be honest, work hard, be choosy.
Suddenly quite casual. It was quite Gandalf till be choosy.
Indeed. I don't think indeed and choosy should be in the same sentence.
We went from Old Testament to 1990s magazine advice. Say thank you, I love you, and great job.
Say thank you, I love you, and great job.
To someone each day. I'm going to do it to the same person to save time. Thank you, I love you, great job. I'm going to say that when I get a takeaway coffee. Thank you, I love you, great job.
You're just rarely in the position to be telling someone great job.
Great job.
Well, unless you're a foreman, I don't see how you can tell someone great job every day.
Just clapping someone on the back and saying great job and not seeming like a piece of shit.
Yeah, it's like an arrogant, patronizing piece of shit.
What if you're the lowliest person at your company?
Mm.
You're going to say great job to your boss and he'll go, what did you say?
Get out of here, you're
fuck
fired.
You, fuck you. Don't talk to me like that. I'm the CEO. Just the typist. Great job. Well, thanks. Well, okay. Thank you.
It's also very American, because Americans do casually say, great job.
Yeah.
Over nothing.
Yeah, yeah, they
to
do.
To strangers.
Yeah, they're much chattier. Maybe we'll talk about this on the bonus pod. Yeah. I went around the Life in the Roman Legion exhibit in the British Museum.
Oh, I've been meaning to go to that.
It's very good. There were some Americans, chatty Americans, with us on the way around.
Mm.
And I liked the wife of the couple. Yeah. They were old American couple.
Mm.
And the wife would point at some horrible display of like some hardship. Be like, oh my God. If it wasn't enough to have to do that, then now they're doing this to this guy. And I'd be like, I know. Terrible. Just every now and then, just a little live reaction to me.
It's so nice.
I liked it.
Yeah, it is quite nice, actually.
I like America.
It must be nice to be American. Actually.
It must be nice to just, yeah, definitely. And to be in a country where everyone's like, Mondays. Although maybe it would be great if you were like us.
I wonder sometimes if their cultural output is strong, like the TV and film and stuff, like the scripts are good, because they just have more practice than we do, because they talk all the time. we literally have less practice at talking.
Maybe that's it.
Mm.
Maybe that's it. It's not over.
Well, you know how they've measured like the average number of words per day spoken by a man and the average number of words spoken a day by a woman. And
a big difference.
Hundreds, maybe a thousand in difference.
Yeah.
I wonder if they've done for like UK and America, or just America and anyone.
Or like south of England versus north.
Ah, yes.
Because they are more like Americans in the sort of talk on the bus way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder.
Mm.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah. Sorry, this chat continues.
Very important. Say thank you. I love you and great job to someone every day. Let your handshake mean more than pen and paper.
What? No.
That's not up to me.
Come on. Yeah.
That's not up to me. I'm going to go get a mortgage with my hand. What, are you going to wank off the bank manager? Exactly.
Also, it also sounds conversely like the tat is trying to convince you to renege on contractual obligations.
Yeah. Well, I didn't shake on it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll sue you then. Okay. Great job. Thank you. I love you. Dreaming does matter.
Oh, God.
Again, we're back to the... Okay. Okay, mate.
In a medical sense, it does. I don't think that's what they mean.
Excuse me. Again, white-knuckling a mug. Dreaming does matter. Okay.
All right, buddy. All right. Put it down.
It allows you to become that which you aspire to. No, it
dreaming allow. Could this? Dreaming is the aspiring.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's circular logic.
Yeah, dreaming allows you that which you aspire to become. No, you aspire to become something which is the dreaming, and then you have to work to make the.
Then you have to do it.
Yeah, then you have to.
The
do
dreaming
it.
Isn't the doing.
No, the dreaming is the aspiring.
Yeah, being hungry matters. It's what makes you food. No. What? No, it's the reason I get food.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Appreciate the little things in life and enjoy them.
Okay. I mean, I think that could have been one sentence. That could have been one, one phrase.
Appreciate the little things. Yeah. And enjoy them.
And don't forget to enjoy them.
Huh? Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, I assume that's what you meant, but okay.
Okay. Do you mean appreciate as in like be aware and be like, huh, those are little?
Yeah, or like appreciate and like I appreciate that argument I don't agree with.
Yeah. I appreciate their little.
I appreciate the logic.
I appreciate that these are the little things of life, but I don't like them.
I don't enjoy them.
Well, actually, you should enjoy them. Oh, okay.
Okay, then. Now we're getting somewhere.
A smile from a stranger on a crowded train. Well, I appreciate that's one of the little things in life, but I hate it. Well, no, you should enjoy that. Okay. Okay, then.
All right, then. Okay, now you said that.
Some of the best things really are free.
Not helpful.
Why really? We're indeed land again.
Yeah.
We're in indeed land again. Do not worry. I don't know. I'm pretty worried about this sign.
Yeah.
The longer this sign takes to reassure me, the more worried I'm becoming, to be honest with you.
I actually feel like there's a lot I have to do now because of reading the sign.
I've got to find someone to say great job to. Take time for yourself, - plan for longevity. That came out of nowhere.
Take time for yourself, - plan for longevity. That's a very specific demand after take time for yourself.
Take time for yourself, plan for longevity.
Take time for yourself, you're running out of time.
Take time for yourself, of which there is a limited amount. Oh, yeah, God. It gets a bit North Korea at the end there. 5-year plan. Plan for longevity.
Prepare for the harvest.
Prepare for the harvest. Fulfill the 8th resolution of the 7th Congress. Okay.
Wow.
Claire says, imagine facing this on your wall first thing in the morning. Ugh. Way too much. Tattiness under the guise of a single motivational affirmation. I fear the sale, it was for sale on a website. I fear the sale may be due to the owner having suffered a nervous breakdown. The pressure just became too much.
I mean, it's like having All Work and No Play Make Jack a Dull Boy just pinned up on your bedroom wall.
But hundreds of times.
On the best things in life are free. And maybe I've said this before on the podcast, but Chanel wasn't the best lady, but she did say the best things in life are free, but the second best things in life are very expensive, which I think is very good.
I think there's a Spike Milligan quote with something like, money doesn't make you happy, and all I seek is the chance to prove that.
Oh, that's good. That's really good. That's exactly life.
Yeah.
Well,
where are we going now?
We are going to, oh God, what locations have we named? We are going to the barren Danish tundra of the bonus pod.
The barren heather-strewn highlands of the bonus pod, the VIP bonus pod. Thank you for listening, guys. Please come see my Soho Theatre run of the best show I ever done in my life. Starting 26th of March.
But it's called...
It's called Why Are You Laughing? Soho Theatre.
And I cannot wait myself to see you.
Yes, you might be in the very same crowd as a certain P. Wang.
And also thank you to all the podbuds who came to the Hammersmith Apollo on Friday and saw both myself and Pierre. It was a great, great show. Made all the finer for having you there. So thank you again for coming.
Every podbud is worth 10 men.
And to, and for any podbud who didn't make it, keep an ear out for an announcement in a few weeks' time, hopefully. For maybe another chance. Maybe. But until then, bye-bye. Love you lots. Toodles.
Ta-da.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.